Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor at the ESRI International User Conference in San Diego, California.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, also in San Diego.
As is our tradition, today we'll explore and critique the key ideas and announcements from the opening plenary at the conference. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine and the International Map Industry Association invites you to the first .map conference this September 8th to the 10th in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mapmakers from the print and digital worlds will gather to explore new ways to deliver content, new ways to derive revenue from both print and digital, and new ways to design maps for a new audience in web, mobile, and print. We hope you'll join us for this unique collision of ideas in map publishing. Find more details at mapconference.net.
Joe and I and 12,000 other people sat through a morning of presentations and announcements and awards. And what we want to do is tease out the important ones from today's session. And I'm going to start with the very subtle announcement that everybody who has a copy of ArcGIS for desktop is going to get a free subscription to ArcGIS Online. Now, we didn't get the exact details about how that's actually going to work, if you're going to be part of some ESRI organization, and how many credits you're going to get. But I think the announcement was really important. It highlights a few things. One, that everybody has got to be on ArcGIS Online. That is the future for ESRI. It also suggests to me that a lot of people are not yet taking full advantage of ArcGIS Online. And part of that may be because the organizations haven't committed to this ArcGIS Online for organizations, which is where you spend the money and get the credits and can do the real work, like take your Excel spreadsheet and put it on the map. So I think this is a way for ESRI to get its users, give them that push to get going with ArcGIS Online.
Well, and this is a case where the company is always a few steps ahead of its users. And in this case, probably even a little bit more of a hurdle to, number one, adopt more of a cloud architecture. Number two, being comfortable with either uploading or downloading data from ArcGIS Online if you're participating in things like community maps or whatnot. So it is yet a little different hurdle that the users have to overcome, but it's a vision that they probably will eventually have to adopt.
So this is a way to get people there a little quicker. And this is the timing is really good because this latest iteration of ArcGIS Online has the analysis in it. And that's what the hardcore GIS people have been waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. And this goes directly into my first point. I think the word of the day for Jack was a web GIS. He mentioned it several times today as well as he did yesterday in the senior executive seminar. What he sees is this emerging pattern, what he calls an emerging pattern, whereas we always wait for some catalyst to be in place before things get radically adopted. We're at a point where cloud services are more readily available. There's more comfort level. There's more security with web services and in the case of ESRI, online GIS. So at this point, we are reaching that critical point where people can get over whatever reticence they had previously with doing more things online. And I think that's where, you know, where he was really trying to drive home a point.
Right. He's used the term web GIS in the past, and I think now, maybe for the first time, it really has meaning. Again, because ArcGIS Online has matured, it has analysis, it has security. We saw a demo, One Thing I Have and One Thing I Know. That was actually done on stage. So clearly, ESRI is saying this pattern of web GIS is mature.
Right.
It's time to go.
Yeah, but it's not just ESRI that's saying it. I think they're getting this from the users that they're finally ready to adopt it more full steam.
Right, and I think the users have in the past couple of years that we've been talking about ArcGIS Online have spent their time and clearly articulated to ESRI what they need. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need that high level of security.
Yeah.
Yes, we need analysis. And Yisrael has responded.
And the interface. The interface has to be clean, and they did make that point where, you know, coming in 10.2, there is going to be a cleaner user interface, so they're making great strides in that direction.
So back to the idea of language, you highlighted that Jack was really focusing on the term WebGIS, and that's a term that ESRI has used. I don't think anybody else is using it, and that's fine. That's very much the way ESRI goes. But some other language sort of hit me, and this is sort of my second point, that even though ESRI is working very hard to bring GIS to everybody, including people who are not GIS users, it continues to use language that isn't the language of the people. So, for example, when they were showing the analysis in ArcGIS Online, which is awesome, and it's just like having the analysis in the desktop, but it's in ArcGIS Online, so that's huge. But instead of saying, we're going to find the best route, they said, we're going to run that analysis. And people don't talk like that. And they talked about you can bound an area and ask for the demographics from it, and they call that geo-enrichment. And again, that's not the way regular people speak, and I'm afraid that that's going to be a barrier to bringing what is really a terrific set of tools to just regular old people.
Yeah, it goes back to the challenge we've had for a long time with making this more palatable to the average business analyst. I think if they were to speak more plainly in the language of business rather than trying to invent a new term, that I think that would help their cause out a lot better.
And I think that's true across all of the different industries, healthcare,
sure,
and utilities and so forth. Because, again, these are not GIS people. These are people who are experts in those fields who want to and should be using these terrific tools.
Yeah. My second point, and it goes to some degree to the element of language, is the year of analytics. As we had mentioned in our previous podcast, the term analytics has come up more and more in the ESRI literature. I want to make the more essential point that it's been coming for a long time. We've wanted GIS to be more part of an enterprise analysis solution. And what I've been hearing, and this came out actually in a session at the Business Summit, it's not really being driven by the vendors. At this point in time, it's being driven by the users. It's being driven by the people who have seen the potential and now want it. I'm reluctant to even say it, but I do believe this is a Google effect. I think that the more people have embraced using mapping technology, even if as simple as navigation, they do see the potential of maps. Now we're at the next level. They want to do some analysis. And so it is the users, I think, who are pushing this. I do also believe that the business intelligence community, which is a much broader suite of people out in the world using analytic technology, are also seeing the potential. They're getting it, and ESRI is supplying them with some of the tools that are making this happen. So it's the year of analytics. We hear it all the time now, special sessions just on location analytics. I think ESRI is doing a pretty good job of driving this home to the users.
And it's interesting that the terms that ESRI is using for those products are very plain terms, right? So ESRI maps for Office. ESRI maps for Cognos, right?
There they've got it. And all those. And that's a great position to be in. I think that's the right place.
I agree. They need to take that kind of thinking to some of these other terms that they're trying to embed.
And it is kind of funny because this term grew out of something that actually happened first in the BI community and maybe even first with Gartner. When Gartner always did their magic quadrant, they always talked about business intelligence. They've added now the additional phrase of business intelligence and analytics magic quadrant. And we are following suit in our little space in the world of using that term as well.
Within the GIS community.
Within the GIS community, yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about, which was a real highlight for me, and again, we suggested that this might be very exciting, is a new product coming. It sounds like it's version 11. I'm going to call it a client to ArcGIS Online, but maybe it's also the replacement for ArcGIS for desktop, and it's called ArcGIS Professional, which in and of itself is an interesting name. All of a sudden, we're dividing between professional and casual user in the names of the products, which is an interesting way forward. But just to look at it and see the demo, it was really elegant. One of my favorite things about it is you do automatically connect up to ArcGIS Online. Again, reinforcing the importance of that platform. So I think people were really excited about it. The UI really looked modern. In fact, if I had to describe what it looked like AutoCAD. It has the ribbon interface. Mm-hmm. It's got things organized into very simple panes. It looks more like a modern application. It doesn't look like old ArcGIS anymore. Mm. And I think that's very exciting.
I too want to comment a little bit about the portfolio of products. I think sometimes when we come here, and we've been coming here for a long time, we sometimes maybe have a little bit of a jaded view. We're looking for that new stuff. If I sat back and looked at it objectively, I think the portfolio of solutions that they're bringing to market, what they're calling solution templates, everything that they're doing with WebGIS and online analytics, I think is astounding. There is something for every little profession right now. They have grown the business to the point where if you are in forestry management for lodgepole pines, there's probably a solution model for lodgepole pines. It's that detailed and it's that specific. Esri is not only delivering this, but some of their users are beginning to build on top of that. There is more of a social contribution to this. And I just think the portfolio is will blow people away. I really do.
I was having the same thought. When I worked at ESRI, you could count the products, fingers of one hand.
Yeah.
And that's really just exploded. And it's going to explode more because part of that portfolio is going to be the growth of apps, right? And we've talked about the dashboard app, which already exists, the data collector app, which already exists.
Right.
And we were introduced today. We actually got to see Explorer for ArcGIS. That name is just confusing because there was an old Explorer,
right.
But again, that's got some really terrific things that you can sort of take advantage of. And again, the idea that there's going to be a marketplace, just like are for the other ecosystems, the mm-hmm. Android, iTunes Store, and so forth. There's going to be that kind of a marketplace for ESRI apps and ones built by their partners and so forth. That's going to just explode this.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, Jack was talking about thousands of these apps appearing in the next number of years, and I think that's entirely possible. I did see a bit of a parallel when ESRI started talking about ArcGIS professional, sort of drawing a line between the professional and the casual user. There's another distinction being made, and that has to do with the services that are available through ArcGIS online. There are those that are premium, that is the ones you pay for, and those are the regular ones that come just with your subscription.
With your license.
And the premium ones are really impressive. We're talking about things like AccuWeather, you know, as real time as you can get it. We're talking about imagery that's could be very timely, 30
within
day,
hours of
within
delivery.
Hours from Digital
yep.
Globe, or within a month for RapidEye. So they're clearly seeking out this real-time data that is demanded, again, by some of those industries. It's going to be absolutely key.
Yeah, it's a really good way for product differentiation and segmentation to make sure that you've got these two levels and people understand. At the premium level, you're going to get really good premium services. But the more interesting take on that is identifying what we as users deem to be premium. Right, real-time data, we've talked about it. Yeah, that's kind of a premium service. And for select users, that's going to be important, and for which you would want to pay for it, obviously.
Right, and the other half of that story, and we talked about this when we talked about Skybox, is that having the imagery is awesome, but having a distribution mechanism for that imagery is absolutely crucial. And guess what? ESRI has the platform. It has ArcGIS Online.
And you know what? That has to be part of the marketing strategy because you have to deliver it in a timely manner. And if they're getting set up to do that, that will make it more palatable from a revenue-generating standpoint for Esri. You got to have that delivery mechanism.
And I think that's what these providers, Digital Globe and RapidEye and AccuWeather,
right.
want. They want someone else to provide that delivery mechanism that plugs directly into their existing user base.
Right.
And that's what ESRI has.
Because in and of itself, those individual services don't make a lot of sense unless you got that platform to support it.
Right, and that's why ESRI has been changing its relationship with its data partners over the years. They've come and gone. Some are closer, some are further. And this is a new way to interact with those data partners.
And from us here at Directions, we want to remind you that all of the news from the Esri User Conference can be found at our channel. That's at directionsmag.com/channels/Esri.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet at @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.